This show may contain strong language and sexual content. If you're a minor looking for information or help without all the grown-up stuff, visit our website at mygayagendapodcast.com for resources. This episode contains discussion of
politics, misogyny, and the AIDS epidemic.
It also contains discussions about the LGBTQIA community, but you probably figured that out already. It's right in the title.
Monday, we're super gay. Tuesday is also gay. Wednesday is still pretty gay. And Thursday, I have a night class. Friday, we continue to be gay. Saturday is the gayest day. Sunday, yeah, it's still gay, but we also record a podcast.
Hello, and welcome to My Gay Agenda, an investigative podcast where we interview the queer community and plan our world domination. My name is Christina.
My name is Jen, and we are your co-conspirators in plotting whatever the heck it is that cisgender straight people think we're doing.
Jen, can you talk about our bi schedule for today?
Well, yes, we have a very special guest. We have our old classmate and friend, Zach, and then we're going to play a game, as always, at the end. So, Zach, would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Zach Taylor. I am an actor and a student. I recently moved to New York City, and I identify as a cisgender bisexual male.
Great. Guide us on the journey.
Well, my coming out was interesting because I did it twice, and I did it as two different orientations. I came out as gay. Oh, God. It's 2010.
Oh my gosh, we have the same coming out years.
2010. So I came out in 2010 as gay in high school. I was a freshman. And something, I had always known that I was attracted to men. And it was one of those things where it was like, I'm just going to test the waters here.
Right.
And see, like, is this it? Or is this just something that, something quirky and fun that I've got going on in the background? And so I dated a couple of women, and I was like, yeah, maybe not. I don't know. And I was still like, I was left more confused than I was before, because I was like, this is great, but also there's this other thing that seems great. So I was like, so that means I'm gay. Like, I'd have to be gay, because I'm a man who is attracted to other men, which means, yeah.
Right.
And so used that label, was happy with it for a while, and then it's probably close on 3 years now. I just had a moment of like, oh, she's pretty. Oh, so is she. Oh, they're attractive.
Wait a minute.
Oh, crap. I was like, what do I do? And it was actually around that time that I got close with Christina and Jen and a couple of other friends from college. And they were like, hey, bisexuality is a thing. And I was like, really? That's an option?
Do go on.
Okay. So that was something that I was like playing around with, and I started doing this thing where I like personally identified as that, but I didn't tell anybody that I identified as that. And I was like, this feels great. And then I mentioned that to someone that I was like, you know, I personally identify as this, but everyone else thinks I'm this. And they were like, well, why don't you just identify as that? And I was like, yeah, why don't I just identify as that?
Yeah, let's be dangerous. So, let's do it.
And I originally came out on Facebook because when in 2009, 2010, Facebook was like a big deal. So I was like, I'm just going to do this because then I won't have to have the awkward like hand-holding conversation of I am gay. And like I had that with my parents, but everybody else, I was like, you're fine. Like it's not, it doesn't affect you. Chill. So then I came out as bisexual on Facebook because I was like, this is fitting. Let's do this again. And it feels good. I haven't questioned it since. I find myself a lot of the time, people will be like, oh, you're gay. And I'm like, no. But that's something that I think, you know, it's just going to take time. It's been a year since I came out as bisexual or started identifying as bisexual. And most everyone's been like, yeah, we get it. You're bisexual. Cool. And then it's mostly been family. And I feel like for my family in particular, like the gay thing, it wasn't a big deal, but like getting used to it was
sure.
took time. So that's leeway I don't even have a problem giving. I'm like, you know what? Whatever. As long as you know that it's just I'm not straight, then fine.
So what it sounds like is you had chosen the label gay because it
did fit at the time. It wasn't like you had said you were gay and then like were actually bisexual the whole time and then one day found the word bisexual and Larry like, wow. It was like a change.
It was. No, it was. And it's one of those things. I personally have always believed that sexuality is very, very, very fluid. Mm-hmm. And I have days personally where I'm like, oh, men are particularly attractive today. Or, oh, this agender person is particularly attractive today. Or, yeah. Oh, and so it's something that I like to keep track of. And the reason actually kind of what sold me on the bisexual label was someone said to me, it's not attracted to men and women. It's attracted to your gender and people that are not your gender.
Others.
And I was like, oh, that works. Because I had also toyed around with pansexuality. And for some reason, that just didn't click for me. That wasn't something I was like, yes, this is it. Mm-hmm. But bisexual, when it was explained to me that way, I was like, oh yeah, nope, that's okay, cool, we're gonna do this.
I'm wondering, with our like current understandings of gender and sexuality, if there's going to be more of a shift to using the word bisexual or words like that, because people are now understanding that bisexuality isn't like men and women and no other genders. There will be people who are identifying as bisexual but aren't attracted to women, or like things like that. They're going to be attracted to different genders, just not all of the genders. So I'm wondering if our current understandings are going to lead in that direction.
I mean, that's something that I kind of hope for. I feel like I'm really happy with It's been slow, but I'm very happy with what we're achieving in our understanding of how gender works.
Yeah.
I recently started a new acting training program, and I didn't have one teacher who didn't ask people for their pronouns. And I feel like even in college, that didn't happen all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So it was really like, it happened once, and I was like, oh, that was cool. And then it happened again, and I was like, awesome. And it happened a third time. I was like, I love this place.
This is it. It's so wonderful.
I was like, I'm never leaving.
That is so wonderful.
I literally was like, I left the first day like so happy. I was like, wow, this is a really inclusive place. Like, this is and people understand now. Like, that's a question we have to ask, and it's not a bad question to ask. Yeah, I think we're moving really, really nicely in that direction. And I agree. I think that that's going to be a label that becomes a lot better understood, because suddenly it's not this weird binary of like, to be this, you have to be this and this.
Yeah. Well, I think what I first see happening and what I hope for is, I think it's just more that pansexual and bisexual are going to become more like synonymous. Mm-hmm. I know there's still people who like really vibe with pansexual, and I don't know, maybe it's because they've got a real cute flag.
They do. No, those colors are great. Flag.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're just sort of becoming more synonymous, and it's kind of like a thing where it's like some people like queer over gay.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, let's just accept whatever words people want.
Yeah, no, it's
that's the future we want to work for.
I agree. Yeah, just like whatever you want to be called, great. I love the pansexual flag. It's so cute.
Oh my god.
When I was figuring myself out, I was pushing myself. I'm like, maybe I'm pan because I really want to wear that flag.
Yeah, and I just love those colors.
No, bisexuality just feels more accurate.
Yeah, it really does. But hey, we have a sick gradient on our flag.
I wasn't in love with our flag at first, but it has really super grown on me.
Yeah?
Yeah. At first, well, I mean, like, the pan flag is just really
it's
my aesthetic.
It's very nice, yes.
But, like, the more I lived with the bi flag, I'm like, damn me.
Yeah. I love how we're, like, talking about this, like, we're pushing some, like, weird Game of Thrones gaze. Like, I am house bisexual.
I would love that. Can we make can this be a genderless? Can we just make a gay of Thrones?
Gay of Thrones.
Yes.
Oh, God, what would, we'd have to come up with house words for every...
Oh boy.
Like, orientation.
Well, we don't want orientations like warring against each. Maybe they just all team up against
heteronormativity.
Yeah. House to sexism. House. Like.
So you have the distinct honor of being the first cisgender man on this podcast.
Yeah.
That's sick. That's
episode
awesome.
Number 8. We did it. There's a guy here.
Sexism is over.
A woman ran for president. It's been over. Okay.
I looked at a woman one time, so
sexism is canceled.
Definitely over, for sure. I was doing a little bit of research, though there is never the research that is comparable to just like
experiencing it, about masculinity and queer culture.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Do you want to talk about
it? I do.
It seems like you have thoughts with a capital T.
I have a lot of thoughts. Well, I think this is a good time to say that I credit the lovely Christina with kind of introducing me to feminism, and a feminism that is intersectional and practical, and not a feminism that is the way the internet likes to paint feminism. So, yeah, I think a lot of my feelings about masculinity come from an understanding of how we view women. Mm-hmm. Because it's such a complex issue. And God, I love the gay community, but they will fight you to the death on this. Just because you're a gay man doesn't mean you can't be misogynistic. And I think that's a lot of where, let me rephrase that. Just because you're a queer man.
Yep.
Doesn't mean you can't be misogynistic. And I think that's where a lot of the issues men face come from, is this internalized misogyny in the queer community, because no one wants to be the feminine partner. No one wants to be the bottom. No one wants to be, they just don't want to talk about that.
Yeah. They don't want to be seen as like the woman of the relationship.
So it's so hard for me to say this. I hate that we as a queer community allow ourselves to be burdened by the label straight people put on us. Mm. And I think one of the biggest labels that we take on is this heteronormative, this relationship is a man and a woman, even though it's two men, even though it's two women, mm-hmm. Even though it's a woman and someone who identifies as agender or trans.
Putting heteronormative ideals on non-heterosexual relationships.
And so I think what happens a lot of the time is queer men in particular don't know how to cope with the masculinity they've been taught, because masculinity that isn't, I feel like intersectional masculinity is a very it's still a very gray topic that I don't know if we have an understanding or a way to make it as intersectional as it should be, mm-hmm. because it is an identity. Masculine is an identity.
Yeah.
But it doesn't allow other identities to exist. And so that becomes an issue. But I think the biggest problem is that queer men are not taught to cope with those masculine expectations. And so we beat other people with them. Because we don't know what to do with them. There's a quote by a poet named Kevin Cantor that I love. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it's a great quote.
He's going to come sue us.
No, I don't think he's
probably listens to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. I just
every
think
gay
he's
person in the world listens to this podcast. Yeah. he's a queer author. But he has this, he basically says, gay men think that the patriarchy doesn't accept it rejects us, and it does in a lot of ways. The patriarchy rejects homosexuality, but it never stops working for us because we're still men. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it's kind of like an identity ladder where yes, you're a white gay male, but this
you're
black
still
queer
a white
female
male.
Has way more problems than you, even though you're both queer. You still have some form of privilege because of where you sit on this ladder.
Yeah.
And right. I think that's a lot of where our problems come from. But I think we also have a deep unwillingness to change. The queer community survives by being antithetical to everything straight people want it to be. And that's their identity. But it's so funny to me that we have these people that, you know, I'm not straight. I am gay. I am this. You know, this is my thing. But then they do what the straight people want them to do. Like, straight people, heteronormativity wants nothing more than for us to be heteronormative, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And so that, I think, is where the problems are seated. When you take queer culture, when you come out as queer, we have no ability to separate masculinity to separate it from being queer, because we feel like we don't want to be this other thing. We don't want to be too gay, because then we're not. But at the end of the day, that's what they fucking want you to do. Like, they want you to be afraid, am I too gay?
Yeah. And a lot of that comes from, the common conception of gay men as feminine. And, that is used as a weapon against gay men. Like, the people who, think that gay men all speak with the lisp, and then, use that to mock gay men. It's nobody wants to be you have their identity used as a weapon against right. them. So then, like, there's a huge go in the opposite direction, way, way, way opposite.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a little bit of Stockholm Syndrome in a way. Like, it's a little bit of, like, I am told not to be this thing. So, you know, I'm not with these people, but to get along with these people, I'm going to be this thing, even though it's not yeah. what I want.
It's kind of like a very, like, appeasing thing where it's like, don't worry, I am gay, but I'm exactly. just like you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not like that kind of gay. Like, let's throw this guy under
it's
the
like,
bus.
I am the gay Neville Chamberlain. I will appease the straights. Yeah, it is. Well, and it is. And it a lot of it comes from this deeply rooted idea of what a man should be.
Mm.
But also, I think one of my biggest issues in the gay community is this idea that gay men are somehow the most important part of the gay community.
Yeah, it's like the G is really
real
big and super big fun, and then the L is really small,
yeah.
and the B and C and Q are just
right
not there.
And it's just this idea that. Men are somehow, men's queer experience is somehow more important because, like, oh, two women kissing, that's hot. But,
yeah.
like, two men kissing, ugh, you know. And it's so easy to just sit there and be like, oh, okay, that was really homophobic. That homophobia is rooted in misogyny. Everything is fucked up. Why are you doing this?
Yep.
Like,
it's like for men, gay men are people who could, like, prey on them. For,
mm-hmm.
and for them, like, gay women are a commodity, like a sexual commodity.
Right.
Either way, it's still about the man.
Exactly.
They make their identity based on how they perceive their relation with other people.
Right.
They just have this internalized, tangled knot of isms.
Well, and right. And so the biggest issue with that is it's still, like, even when we're talking about queer issues, still puts the straight man's perception as the end all of what
yep.
we should, like, respect. And it's just like, no, dude, I don't care. I like, you see it all the time on, like, and I don't use Grindr, but you see it all the
Me
time.
Me neither.
you see it all the time on, like, Grindr, where it's just like, if you're not masculine, I just don't want to.
No femmes.
And it's
no.
like, first
mask
of all.
For mask.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's
yep.
like, first of all, you don't even know me. Second of all, nail polish makes me look gorgeous. So, like, fuck
polish
off.
Is fun.
Like,
I don't get it.
And that's the thing, is it's just, it's this idea that a man's experience is more important. And this comes up all the time when we're talking about queer spaces and particularly gay bars.
Yeah.
People just assume that if a woman is in a gay bar, she's straight.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, these straight women in this gay bar. And it's like, well, first of all, you don't know if she's straight.
Yeah.
So this
unless
could
she's
be...
wearing a t-shirt that says I'm straight and walked in yelling, woohoo, I'm straight.
Right. Like, you just don't know.
I feel like there's some drunk straight ladies who do that.
Listen,
exact...
I,
definitely
I have
that.
Experiences. Okay. Gay bars are a time. But that I think is a huge issue. And I wholeheartedly respect that a lot of gay men in particular view their gay bars as a sacred space.
Yeah.
And I think
there are straight women who use it as like a fun place to hang out where they won't get
hit on. Right. And it's like, first of all,
yeah.
have you heard of lesbians? Second of all,
no.
Yeah.
Second of all, let's take down rape culture so that this doesn't
yeah.
have to happen.
So you
happen.
Can go anywhere and not.
And, well, I mean, I know in a previous episode we talked about bringing, like, an ally with you to Pride for emotional support. Mm. What if there's, like, a baby gay who wants to bring
well,
his
that's the other thing
with-
is straight is the default for whatever goddamn reason. I think it's boring, but whatever.
Fine if you want to do it.
Like, yeah. I don't understand it, but it's your life, so whatever.
If that's the lifestyle you choose.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've known people with, like, alternative lifestyles, but I don't have to, like, support it publicly.
Yeah.
I'll be friends with you. I'll like, if you get married in a straight relationship, I'll send you a toaster or whatever. But...
I'm not all up in your face with my homosexuality, so if you could just, like, not kiss in public, that'd be cool.
All the newspapers that cover details about low-budget podcasts are going to be like, Christina and Jen, proven heterophobes.
Yes.
I mean...
I don't hate straight people, but I hate people who are straight. No.
No,
I tried.
There's such a distinctive difference between, like, straight people and capital S, capital P,
straight people.
TM.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
No, and there is. And I have tons of straight allies in my life who are incredibly supportive and lovely, and they listen and they're willing to learn. Usually those people are the people that are like, you're on the street and suddenly someone's throwing a slur at you and you're like, I'm just trying to go get a donut. Like,
just trying to live. Yeah, that's like, the real gay agenda.
Just get a donut. Freaking donut. I know. Listen, so many like gourmet donut places are popping up.
We're in like New York. That's like the heart of like donut
trends.
There
is a place called Donut Pub. It is ridiculous.
I'm sorry. All right. So that's definitely on the agenda. Go to Donut Pubs. Speaking of straight people who are exhausting, I don't know if you've heard this, but there was an election last year.
Jesus Christmas. Yeah, there was. Yes.
Yeah. That was a lot, right?
It was. I vaguely remember something to that effect happening. I think I blocked it out.
Disassociated for all of it. Yeah. In all seriousness, the 2016 election where the people voted for Hillary Clinton and an outdated system got Trump as president anyway, that had a huge negative effect on a lot of marginalized groups, including the queer community.
Yeah, it did. It was a rough night. And then a rough year.
How'd you handle that one? How are you?
Well, I think that's something that I and a lot of, I think a lot of people in marginalized groups are going to be, maybe not, maybe I was just naive, but are going to be coping with for a while. Because even though he didn't win the popular vote, he won a lot of votes.
Yeah,
that's a lot
of
people.
It was pretty 50-50.
Yeah.
As far as our population went.
Right. And that's a lot of people that decided, and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and I will say that they...
That's generous of you.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying really hard. I will say that I don't think there are people that voted for him because he was going to harm minority groups, but they also decided that it didn't matter and that...
Yeah.
And that is not
in the end, whatever the reasons, they all had the same results.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And I went through a period right after the election where I was just like super angry. And I'm not that person. I'm not an angry person.
Mm-hmm.
I joke a lot about being like, is this angry queer kid again? Because that's certainly who I was in high school. I was the well-informed angry gay kid.
I'm still that today. I'm almost 25.
The well actually queer.
Yeah. Exactly. And I was for a very long time. And I still am. I still am. I was really angry after the election. And I did some things and said some things that I'm like certainly not proud of. And it was a very emotional time. And I think that happens. But I think I learned a lot about myself. And one of the biggest things I learned was like, whoa, dude, process your anger. Like, don't just yell at people. That's not helpful.
Yeah.
And so this last year has been a lot of that. It's been a lot of how do I turn this into something productive? How do I turn this into a form of activism that's not just yelling at someone on Facebook? Which, don't get me wrong, like, I love me a good Facebook fight because it's who I am as a person. And I do it all the time, and people are like, I saw you commented on this thing. You seem really upset. And I'm like, oh, no, I actually don't care. No. I was just being an asshole.
I whenever you comment on, like a bigger news story, I'm always like, oh, what the fuck is Zach going to say? I'm like, get ready. Zach Taylor showed up. Oh, man, oh, boy.
And so I tend to be that person who I'm terribly unafraid of calling out my friends, just entirely unafraid of it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like this sounds so snobby when I say it, but it's the only way I can think to say it that feels right, is like, if you're gonna be in my life, there's a standard that I expect you to live up to, and that standard is like not treating other people like garbage, which doesn't seem like a very high standard, but to some people it's unachievable.
That does not sound snobby at all. Don't worry.
Yeah. It's like, just like, be nice to people, and like, if someone corrects you, just be like, yeah, that's something new I could learn. Don't be like, it was a joke.
Yep.
If you say it's just a joke, chances are I'm just going to go three sheets to
you
the wind.
You don't know how comedy works. Bye. Yeah. Bye.
Like, I don't think it's a particularly lofty goal to only want to be friends with people who are going to respect you.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is I have relationships that I value, right, with people who have viewpoints that are different from my own. But then there's a difference between I don't think the Republicans are doing a very good job as a viewpoint mm-hmm. versus, like, I think only these people should have these rights. It's not an opinion anymore. It's just yeah. a problem. And that's been a thing, is a lot of people have come to me and said, you know, you're very angry, you're very mean, you're very this, you're very that. And part of me is like, yeah, I could do this in a nicer way. And there is a nicer way to do this where it becomes productive. And that's what I'm working towards.
Like, that's a valid thing to be like, right. yes, totally. Like, there's a more productive way to get what I want.
Right. But almost inevitably, those conversations turn into, he's allowed to have an opinion. And I'm like, okay, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
Because I don't, listen, I love to debate just like all the time. I will argue with anyone ever. But the second it turns into, I don't think queer people are people, I'm like cracking the knuckles, like, all right. So
first of all,
let me tell you all the reasons you're wrong.
So is there anything you want to tell straight people for the last time? A question you always have to answer. Let's get it out of the way.
I don't know if there's a question I always have to answer, but I think it really is just like, hey, if you stopped talking for a minute and just like listened to us, you'll see that one, we're just like you, and two, we have a lot to offer, so stop treating us like nothing, you know? There's no reason we shouldn't enjoy the same rights as you. And also, if we do enjoy the same rights as you, we'll shut up about them. Yeah.
You never have to hear from me again.
Seriously.
That is, like, the solution.
Like, you want to... I love when people are like, I'm sick of hearing about this. And I'm like, I'm sick of living it. So, like, what are we going to do?
I'm sick of talking about it. Yeah, I'm tired. This is tiring. I'm not having
fun. The queers are tired, okay?
If you want me to shut up, I have a wonderful solution to present you.
Right. And that's the thing, is this benefits everybody. Mm-hmm. This idea of queer people being equal really does just... Everybody will just be so much happier. Yeah. The people who don't care about us won't have to hear from us anymore. And the people that are genuinely invested in our success will be happy for us. And we will be able to, you know, be the boring people that we are. Because yeah. I feel
like... And go get our donuts.
Yeah. And go get our donuts, damn it. Yeah. I just feel like straight people have this, like, really weirdly romanticized view of what being gay is like. And it's like, I've got the march at 2 and, like... recruiting session at 2:15. Like, you know, like, I don't understand.
We're at that point in our program. Zach, what's on your gay agenda?
Okay. So as a community, I think I would love for us to be more able to validate everyone's experiences. For me, what I really want is I really want to find a way to turn our anger and our fear and our just every kind of emotion we have that comes from the situation that we tend to find ourselves in as queer people mm-hmm. and make it productive and make it into something that is going to help, you know, the young queers down the line. Because at the end of the day, it's super easy to say, I am fighting for my rights, harder to conceptualize that it's not just you that you're fighting for. And so I think that perspective is so important. And so I really would like for us to be able to find a way to push forward even more than we have and turn everything that we're dealing with into something even more productive. Because it is productive now, but, you know, things like gay men not accepting this person because X, Y, and Z that they don't quite understand.
Yeah.
If we have, you know, if we have fighting within our ranks, we're never going to be able to. And so, yeah, it really is just about turning everything into a productive push forward and loving each other, because that's just such a huge thing. We just need to love each other.
It's happened to a real emotional place with me with talking about future queers.
I don't know if I'm sorry. I was gonna say I'm sorry, but I'm also trying not to apologize for existing. So.
Don't apologize for art.
I just want to say this. Feel free to edit it out of a thing if it's like off topic, but it's just like I think about this a lot. I'm gonna be that bummer queer and bring up the AIDS epidemic.
No, absolutely.
We lost like a literal entire generation.
Yeah.
And I think constantly about like how I might have figured myself out a lot sooner if I had had queer
like mentors in my life or mm-hmm. people around. So it's like just the idea of like becoming what we didn't get to have.
Right. No, I think that's a huge deal. And I you know, there's no, I would argue there's no point in queer history that's more defining than the AIDS epidemic. Mm. Because it really is the first time you see the queer community come together like that. Mm-hmm. Because we had no choice. One, I hope we are never in a situation where we have no choice again. But yeah, we did. We lost an entire generation of queer artists and queer lawyers and queer politicians and queer everything.
Yeah. And even not on that scale, we continue to lose them today. Right.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Yeah. Like not the residual.
Of course. Well, and though, something that's happening now is it's so easy. It was so easy for me. And it is. It's so easy for young queer people to not only reject that history, but ignore it. And it's one of those things where it's just like, one, there are people, they are not old by any stretch. The mm-hmm. people that live through that are not old at all.
Yep.
They have such a valuable lesson to teach us, because when it came down to it during the AIDS epidemic, no ifs, ands, or buts, no questions asked. We were there for each other. Mm-hmm. We had no choice because no one else was going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is there's a lot of, you know, I feel like there's a lot, and this is why I kind of targeted my agenda towards the gay community, because I personally experience a lot of like infighting.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, sure, the overreaching problems are that straight people feel like they can tell us who to be, but internally we're just kind of going at each other and saying, you know, I don't understand this identity, so it can't be valid, even though that's what people have said to me my whole life, you know. But at the end of the day, like, it's us. We're what we got. And we can't be doing this.
So gotta band together.
We
with
do.
A can-do attitude.
We have to. We don't have a choice.
And get those donuts.
Seriously.
Just gotta be nice to each other.
Seriously. Be nice to each other. And then we can all go get donuts together.
Perfect.
Donuts are awesome.
Do you want to? We'll become queer mentors and teach all the queer youth where the good donut places are.
Yes.
Exactly.
Get them. Yeah. We should start a queer mentorship program. Sorry. Yes. Entirely off topic. Yes.
So let's lighten the room with the game.
Let's go from Jen almost crying about AIDS to a fun game.
So last episode, when we were talking with our good friend Jesse, we said that there was not a way to quantify how gay somebody is.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out we were wrong.
Great.
Yes.
Take it away, Jen.
I found a quiz on BuzzFeed.
Okay.
Called How Gay Are You?
Great.
I test ran it. My very, very straight partner test ran it. Both of our results were fairly accurate. I will say, it does not seem to acknowledge bisexuality. And there is some talk of opposite sex.
Okay.
Which,
right.
Which is cis-normative.
Which is, no, yeah.
Yeah, not yeah, yeah. really and, like, a thing, incorrect. Because there's not just two.
Yeah.
But anyway, but that in mind, it is a delight. So if you'd like to take it.
Yes, let's do it.
All
right.
I live for BuzzFeed quizzes.
Yes. It's from BuzzFeed UK specifically, and it was written by Tom Phillips and Scott Bryan.
We'll be posting this on our page so you can play along at home.
Yes.
Thanks,
please
Tom
play
and Scott.
Along at home. All right. First, you're going to choose a color, and your options are red, blue, pink, yellow, lilac, or green.
I'm going to go with lilac.
Pick a Beyonce.
Oh, boy.
Flawless Beyonce. Single Ladies Beyonce. Run the World Beyonce. Drunk in Love Beyonce. Crazy in Love Beyonce. Or TBH, I'm not that into Beyonce.
Oh, I'm gonna get so much crap for this. I'm gonna go TBH, I'm not that into Beyonce. Not.
It's okay. It's all okay. Right. We're not taking your card away.
See,
I'm a solid Britney gay.
We can change this to an anonymous interview.
I know,
like,
people are gonna crucify
change
me.
Change your name and move somewhere
please
else.
Don't send hate mail.
Don't at
just
him.
Just send donuts.
Don't at him. Do you enjoy consensual sexual experiences with or feel a sexual attraction to members of the same sex as yourself? Yes, yeah. All the time. Quite a bit, yeah. What? Now and then, hardly ever, or never.
Yes, all the time.
What the hell is the what option? Like, even if somebody is ace, like, you've heard of sex.
Yeah. you have a basic understanding of the concept.
Number 4, what city would you most like to live in?
I can already tell this is going to be very tough.
New York,
I live London, in New York now.
Paris, San Francisco, a very gay town.
That's the gayest
Tokyo,
town.
Tokyo, or Moscow, the least gay town. You could be argued. No offense to gays in Moscow.
That's like just giving straight people who take this an out. Like,
I mean, yes.
I mean, to be fair, though, gays in Moscow, you know it. It's the truth.
You know what's going on.
We don't need you to remind you.
I'm going to go with London.
London.
I live in New York City now, and it's incredible. But London.
I can see you there. What's your drink of choice? Beer, gin and tonic, white wine, cocktails, stout, or whiskey?
Okay, so anyone who knows me heard this question and then heard gin and tonic as an answer, and they went, it's that. So I'm going to go with white wine.
Oh, thank goodness I can click more than one answer. Okay, six. Okay, just to clarify, do you like having sex with people of the same sex? No, really no. Barely, sort of, now and then. Quite a lot. I already told you, yes, I do. Or gender binaries, what the fuck?
I want to go with that one.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Even if I was only attracted to one gender, I probably would have picked that option still.
Yeah, no.
What's become more of a slogan by this point.
What's your ideal Saturday night? Clubbing until 5 a.m. Dinner and theater.
Don't make me go anywhere.
Dinner and theater.
That's doable.
Quiet drink with friends. Doing something new. That's ambiguous. House party or night in with Netflix?
Yeah, it's a night in with Netflix. Yeah, don't make me. I don't
also,
wanna go
you cowards,
places.
Just call it Netflix and chill. You cowards.
Next question. Oh, hang on. Have you ever felt sexually attracted to someone of the same sex? Nope. This one time. Yep, a bit. Quite often, actually. Yes, I have. Obviously. Or your questions are weird.
Sick of this question. Is obviously an answer?
Yes, I have, obviously.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Perf.
Yes, you might be figuring out the joke of this quiz by this point. Which U.S. president do you most identify with? We have Barack Obama, William Howard Taft, Ronald Reagan.
Fuck you, Ronald Reagan. Yeah. Fuck your AIDS epidemic bullshit. Fuck you. Sorry, I just wanted to yell.
Thank you for saying what we're all thinking.
Great.
And feeling. Yeah. Abe Lincoln, James Buchanan, or JFK?
I want to say Obama because I love me some Obama, but I'm pretty sure Lincoln was like at least casually bisexual.
Totally was.
So
yeah,
we're
sure.
Going to go with Lincoln.
Hell yeah, Lincoln.
Yes.
Queer people are everywhere. Queer. We are in your homes.
History.
What's your favorite?
Right now.
What's your favorite root vegetable? Carrots, Jerusalem artichokes, potatoes, sweet potatoes. Ginger or beets?
I'm gonna go with potatoes.
They are very versatile.
They're so good.
For true.
Potatoes are the most bisexual vegetable. If you could pick your ideal partner for a romantic date, what qualities would they have? They'd be the same sex as me. Preferably the same sex, but mostly, you know, hot. Don't care about their sex, care about wine. Ideally the opposite sex, but it's no biggie. They must be the opposite sex, you hear me? Or dates are boring.
Just to clarify, because there were a lot of words, and none of them were, I'm bisexual, so it was all, you. No, I like the opposite, heavy air quotes.
The
or
closest,
the
yeah.
Also not loving that we're using the word sex to mean gender in this quiz.
Yeah.
It's a flawed quiz.
So what do we see as the closest
option? The closest to bisexual.
Care about wine.
The three closest are don't care about their sex, care about wine. I'm just going to start saying gender. Preferably the same gender, but mostly, you know, hot. Or ideally the opposite gender, but it's no biggie. Those are the three that are conducive to bisexuality.
I really do care about wine, though. Anyone could walk up to me and be like, we're dating now, also here's a bottle of wine. And I'm like, cool.
Cool, we're dating. Great, so probably that one then.
Yeah.
All right. Pick a weather phenomenon.
Oh, boy.
Flooding.
No.
Little fluffy clouds. Mm. Sunshine. Tornado. Ball lightning.
What?
Or big pretty rainbow.
I feel like tornado is like the straightest option. Because I can think of like a bunch of hetero dudes taking this quiz and being like, yo, I'm a fucking tornado, dude. I'm a fucking tornado.
See, I thought flooding immediately because that's just the most downer one to me.
Jen's like, how can I get sad about this? Bloody. No. What is ball lightning? Is that
I'm
like
sure it's very no cool clue. Looking, but I have no idea.
Oh boy.
It's lightning, but you can
dunk it. It's just sunshine.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
I get so sad when the sun's gone.
Ooh, me too.
It's like not
seasonal
good.
Affective disorder. Which gender is sexiest? Same gender as me, duh. Mostly the same as me, but hey. All genders are sexy. Opposite gender wins. Opposite, opposite, opposite. Or stop being a sexiness fascist. Which is the answer that sold me on this quiz.
There's a lot.
Sexiness.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, the picture is also just two butts. But they're not lined up really well. So the one butt is like kind of upsetting to look at.
It's offset and that's made me upset.
Some asymmetrical
it's
butts.
Turned,
and it's
it
just
looks
unpleasant.
More like six butts. No, sorry, six butt cheeks for a total of three butts. So anyway. I guess the closest would be all sexes are sex. Sorry, all genders are sexy.
I am going to start telling people to stop being sexiest fascists, so.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with the all genders are sexy.
Yeah.
I can't get past that they use sex.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
14. Pick an arbitrary box. Box A. Box B. Box 3. Box 4. This box, or screw your boxes.
Screw your boxes.
Yeah.
A plane leaves New York at 4:15 p.m. local time, bound for London.
I just
traveling
threw up.
At 500 miles per hour. Another plane leaves London at 9:30 p.m. local time, heading in the opposite direction, traveling at 550 miles per hour. If they maintain a constant airspeed, do you ever want to have sex with someone of the same gender?
You can't see it, but we're all blinking very rapidly at each other.
The answers are. Wait, what? Yes, for fuck's sake. Still yes, you cannot trick me with math puzzles.
That's
yes.
Not the option I'd pick. You can trick me a lot.
You put numbers in front of me, I will be there for days.
Third one is yes, while backing away slowly. The fourth answer is an awkward, wavy hand gesture. No, storming out of the room, or this quiz does not represent me at all.
Well... Yeah, I'm going to go with the yes backing away slowly, because again, if you put
the
numbers
math.
In front of me, I am an unhappy camper.
You got kinda gay.
Wrong.
Well,
oh my gosh, that probably just means bisexual.
Yeah, you really enjoy having sexual experiences with people of all genders. Frankly, the one could turn out to be a member of either gender. Bisexuality, it's a party to which everyone is invited.
All right, hold on.
So why wait, they acknowledged
it. Then why
it.
Doesn't just say bisexuality?
I'm mad I didn't get this option that mentions bisexuality. I got pretty gay.
What was the name of the authors again?
Jen, that's what you have to identify as now. BuzzFeed has spoken.
I mean,
I am Tom and Scott. Tom and Scott, just some... First of all, like, thank you for allowing us to use your quiz. That's great. I hope that this has been a learning experience. It seems like this was written in early 2014.
That explains
I'm
it
a different
bit.
Person than I was in 2014. I get it. If you have any questions on why this quiz was very cisnormative and like did not include bisexual people at all, my email address is info@mygayagendapodcast.com. I would be more than happy to sit down with you and chat about this.
Thank you for the phrase sexiness fascist, though.
Oh, yes, that was good.
And in terms of now I have to identify as pretty gay, I'm fine with that because I am a pretty gay. True. I'm a very pretty gay.
All right,
yes,
that is going
are.
To do it for us.
All right, as always, if you think I'm kind of funny or whatever, you can find me on Twitter @_glittergoblin_ or on Instagram @glitter.goblin. I like glitter.
And you can find this podcast on iTunes. We can also be found on Facebook. Our Facebook page is My Gay Agenda, an investigative podcast. And our Twitter handle is GayAgendaCast.
Yes. Please tell people about us, and please on iTunes do the whole like and subscribe and review thing. iTunes doesn't tell us how many of you are listening. So tell us that you're listening, and we'll, I don't know, if you tell me, I'll just send you stickers of, like, cats with shiny eyes blushing or something.
Yes. All right, so thank you so much, Zach, for sitting down and chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time, put this to-do list in your gay agenda. Fight the power. Love yourself. Go get some donuts.
Get some donuts.
I really want donuts. And that's our gay agenda.